International mediation efforts are continuing in Kenya, where hundreds of people were killed and many more displaced in ethnic and tribal violence that erupted following disputed elections in December. The violence has waned in many areas, although a humanitarian crisis now looms over the poorest of the poor in the slums of the capital Nairobi and the country's rural highlands. Pope Benedict has called for an end to the violence and urged Kenya's politicians to resolve the conflict through dialogue and debate. In a letter sent through the Secretary of State, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, to the country's bishops, the Pope said he had followed the great tragedy in Kenya with deep sorrow and concern. He called on the nation's political leaders to embark resolutely on the path of peace and justice, since, he said, the country needs peace that is based on justice and brotherhood. The apostolic nuncio to Kenya is Archbishop Alan Paul Le Beaupin, who says he believes the will is there to work for peace and reconciliation.
What happened in just 1 week, of course, has been so terrible for many people. It was really a disaster, we can say, but it's not just a humanitarian disaster. It was a real national disaster. And I think that the international community did the best they had to do. And I think because the Kenyans were really conscious of the disaster where they were going. So it's not, as I said, to my opinion, imposed, but probably it is what it was necessary. And after, of course, you need maybe facilitation, is what I will be saying. It's why I think it was very good, but, you know, has been in a short time because you had the goodwill. And not only goodwill, as we use the words usually, but the political will probably to go out.
I suppose there is a huge pressure, really, to resolve this crisis, and especially as it's looking at Kenya's reputation as a really one of the most vibrant democracies and most promising economies in Africa.
Yes, that it is also why I think the Kenyan peoples also wanted the leaders to find a way to go out. It's why it has not been so difficult to arrive where we are. It's not just to convince them. I think, you know, it was not a question to convince them. It is for the reason you presented. The economy of the country in 1 week has been already with some consequences. All the peoples on the both sides have been conscious of that. And their people who voted for them, they were asking in a way to create the good cooperation among them, because we have to remember that the three candidates to the elections were working together for the elections of 2002. They won the election in 2002 together, and they have been working together at least for 3 years. So they know one another, and is why I believe it's good that they could go back maybe to think what they made before and what has to be done in the future. And I am very confident.
There's no doubt that the church has taken certainly a very strong viewpoint on the situation, on this idea of really consolidating peace and forging really reconciliation.
If you take what was in the letter of Cardinal Bertone, and where it was an appeal to the head of the politicians here in this country, in a way, I don't say they follow, but it was what the good sense. So it's why I believe many religious leaders, and first the Holy Father, were showing that way. And I think the people, as adults, decided to take that way. I now pray for them to be strong on their decision. But I think it was not a real decision imposed to them by the international community. It's imposed by the situation for the economy to stop what happened, because, of course, it's very dangerous to have this kind of confrontation based on ethnic or social realities. So it's why That also has been. The letter of Cardinal Bertone has been published in the two principal newspaper here and has been presented personally to the different leaders.
And certainly it's the idea of hope, isn't it? I mean, certainly the Pope talking in his encyclical Spes Salvi, this whole idea of hope, hopes for peace, hopes for forging reconciliation and the hopes for many
and
people.
And justice, indeed. It was one day's peace and justice. And that is what the people are expecting for the future.
That was the Apostolic Nuncio to Kenya, Alan Le Beaupin, talking to my colleague Lydia O'Kane. But what are some of the deeper reasons behind this massive wave of ethnic violence in a nation that until now was seen as one of Africa's most stable democracies? To find out more, my colleague Irene Lagan spoke to Father Elias Omondi, head of the Jesuit Hakamani Center in Nairobi.
The divide is clearly tribal and ethnic, the way it's been used, and in this country it's an issue that has never been solved. I was on the Catholic radio on Saturday being interviewed there, and I was saying that we've managed to build a country, and people have envied Kenya as a strong economic center within this region of Africa and mediating for peace and making all this economic progress, but we've failed to build a nation. We've not been able to bring the 42 tribes together as a few other African, the first African presidents, like Julius Nyerere and Kwame Nkrumah and Kaunda in Zambia, did with their people. That let's build first and foremost the national identity. But in this country, we moved much more on the economic issues, but we ignored the very fundamental issues and never even put that within the constitution or put the structures that were meant to help all the regions be part of the country. And so these ethnic divides have been used. And I've always said that, you know, ethnicity has been politicized and the politicians have used it for their own gains. And also politics has been ethnicized in such a way that if you want majority behind you, then you go back to your regions and garner the votes within those regions. And we've seen this trend being used politically, being used within the economic policies and implementation. And so some regions within the country have felt marginalized by these kind of systems. And so I think the problem is much, much deeper. We cannot just call for a kind of a national identity without putting in structures to ensure that there's equal equity in economic distribution, for example. You don't expect people to feel part of the country when they're not involved in the social organization of the society, when they're not involved in the governance systems.
Now that the violence has come to an end, are people in the country resolved to overcome their differences? What is the outlook there? And another question, just to follow up on that, the Holy Father recently sent a letter to the Kenyan bishops and to the people of Kenya. What kind of an impact does the message of the Holy Father have for the people?
I think we still have to deal with the humanitarian crisis currently. Some of the people that I even called some of my friends, especially in the Rift Valley area, because that's the most affected part of the country, and some were telling me that they don't think they'll even want to go back to the Rift Valley. They've lost their land, they've lost their property. It's not the first time. It happened in 92 elections, it happened in 97 elections, but this time they've been hard hit because it was so fast and they hardly had even a chance to get some of their properties out. I would first of all look at the people who have been displaced. These are still hurting. They've lost their property. Some were really wealthy and they were doing very well, and now you're reduced to zero. These people will continue to feel the anger, the revenge in them, and they'll need to be helped in a process that will have to see justice being done. And if this thing was well planned, or the people that were involved ought to be arrested and brought to court. And then they need to get their land back. In other words, we need clear structures of security and citizen participation in the organization of the society in such a way that when we're talking of reconciliation, then it's the reconciliation that is supported by certain structures that will ensure security, structures that will ensure that I, as a person of a different ethnic community, can live in any part of this country without feeling threatened. So putting those structures in place. On the Pope's letter, I would say people have been so much overwhelmed by what's going on and all kinds of statements that have come up that I wouldn't be in a position even to assess the impact of such a letter What we still remember is the bishop's statement and what the bishop said in terms of calming down the people and asking them to go back to their daily activities and to stop the violence and to help the needy. But many people are still raising justice issues that are not being addressed, and the people don't want to feel ransomed, you know, taken at ransom by calls for peace without calls for justice. And calls for justice, that there have been clear indications that these elections were certainly flawed and rigged, and that there has to be an amicable process towards that.
One final question, Father. Do you hold out hope that the mediation will actually help resolve some of these deeper issues, or will it just address really the political election issues?
The political settlement could take two or three options. The first one is to talk of a coalition government or government of national unity, where the opposition can also fail to be part of the government, which could be unfortunate, because then you'll have a very weak opposition, if at all there will be an opposition. But it will be positive in the sense that we could run this for a period like 1 year for a unity government to reconcile the country, to go around and call for peace and unity and to address real serious issues of displacements and people who have unjustly kicked out of their land or their area, and also to call for a national identity. That will be very important, to use this as a transitional government. And then for a period of a year or so, then we move into fresh elections or rerun of the presidential elections in order to solve the issue. But in the meantime, during this period, I would like to see mediation process also call for long-term constitutional reforms, ensure a presidency that's controlled under checks and balances, that will ensure that we don't fall back into this kind of situation 5 years to come in the next election.
That was Jesuit Father Elias Omundi speaking to my colleague Irene Lagan.